I take my text from the book of the Apocalypse. I saw upon Mount Sion a Lamb standing, and lo, with him 144,000, bearing the name of the Lamb and of his Father upon their forehead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend fathers, my dear confirmands, my dear friends in Christ, why is it that we confirm our lambs with the Holy Chrism upon the forehead when they have just emerged from the font of baptism, reborn now as a child of God, with all of their sin washed away? The priest signs them with the Holy Cross, our only protection against the foe, and our only way of entering into heaven, upon the crown of their head. But now, when it comes time to seal these lambs in the Holy Ghost and to mark their spiritual adulthood before God, all grown up now, already, the bishop signs them upon the forehead. Why is that? This is one of the questions I asked the children the other day at our Day of Recollection. Those of you who are of a certain age may remember that in the old days, the bishop, before he got vested for confirmation, would go down the aisle to the pews, and he would ask the children at random their catechism questions. Now, that was always a moment of sheer terror for the teachers, for the parents, and for the children. In one of the beautiful collects chanted for the vigil service, we referred to our Lord, offerendo terrorem, taking away terror, because there is entirely too much terror in this sad, violent world of ours. So a long time ago, I decided not to do that when I became a bishop, but rather I ask you to be so good as to bring the children for our Day of Recollection with me, and I go through their questions, their catechism with them then. Well, I ask that question. Why does the bishop make the sign of the cross with the chrism upon the forehead? And, as is often the case, no answer. So then I go down to the pew about where Noah is sitting now, and I poke my head into the pew, and I point to my forehead, and I ask the question a second time, why on the forehead? And I'm just about looking at Nathan, and Nathan responds very well. He says, because that's where your mind is. And I said, well, not exactly the mind, but the brain is there. It is, one of the catechisms tell us, it is the seat of the intelligence, the head. Other books say that we are signed with the seal of the cross upon the forehead because the forehead is the most prominent part of the face. And it is the forehead and the face which show particularly when we're feeling any shame or embarrassment. And we must never feel, children, any shame or any embarrassment for the cross of Christ and for our holy faith. Now, in order for the bishop to get at the forehead, the same as for the priest, on Ash Wednesday, when we wear the ashes to the world, the laity upon their forehead, and the clergy, and the crown of the head where they receive their clerical tonsure, making them members of the clergy. In order to get at the forehead, you have to sometimes move the bangs a little bit, so we always ask the parents to arrange the hair so the priest has, or the bishop in this case, has easy access to the forehead. Because the idea is not as is generally the idea today. You know, that concept of we have a crucifix, but it's in the back bedroom where no one sees it. The idea is to wear the cross of Christ, our Catholic faith, boldly upon the forehead. Because we might add a third reason, the forehead is the most prominent part. It's seen by everybody. That's why we're careful to wash our face if there's a smudge or something on it. And that's why we're careful, too, to bear the cross of Christ and our faith in a way that's seen by everyone. without any embarrassment and without any shame. Now today, as it happens, is the feast day of one of our sanctuary saints. Does anyone know which one? Saint Rita of Cassia. And she is, you might say, the foremost forehead saint. She's the first saint on the epistle side, dressed in the black habit of an Augustinian nun. If you look closely, you see upon her forehead a little mark or a wound. This is the story of that. Once she heard a sermon preached by St. James of the Marches on the crown of thorns. And she was so moved by that sermon that she begged our Lord afterwards to give her some little share in what he must have suffered when he bore upon his head that sharp and piercing crown of thorns. As she prayed, she fell into an ecstasy, and she felt upon her head the crown of thorns. And then a ray of light came down from the crucifix to her forehead to mark one spot right in the middle, where I will mark you for the Holy Ghost today with the cross. And then thirdly, a thorn, one thorn, detached itself from the crown of thorns on the crucifix before which she was praying, and went into her forehead. And when it entered into her forehead, such a pain she felt as she had never felt before. A bit like the pain of the stigmata, I would think. A sharp pain, a burning one. And it never went away until the day that she died years later. But that was not the greatest of her sufferings. She had asked for a share in the crown of thorns. What does that mean? Well, the crown of thorns means mockery, doesn't it? People don't like you. They don't want to be near you. They have no use for you. You are different from them. They have to make fun of you. Well, the wound in the crown of thorns immediately became infected and gave out a horrible, unbearable odor. And as though that were not enough, many books omit this so as not to seem a little bit too much. The French would say un peu de trop, but it's the truth. There were little worms there too. They could be seen. She smiled about them. She said, oh, those are my little angels. Imagine bearing that on your forehead. Well, the other nuns couldn't bear it. And she voluntarily went away and lived by herself as a hermitess for years and years, except for one pilgrimage to Rome, because it was unbearable to others. But she bore this willingly to share a little bit in what our Lord suffered for us. Now, should you, dear children, soon to be grown-up adults in the Catholic Church, should you share in the crown of thorns, which means that you show by your life, by the way you dress, the way you speak, the way you live, that you follow Jesus Christ crucified, our King, who is the King, who has the right to command. If you dare to do that, I'm afraid that people will find your company unpleasant, a little bit on the stinky side, truth to tell, and you almost wormy, and you'll just be relegated off to some corner someplace. As it was then, it is now, and always will be until he comes in glory, the Lamb and our King at the end. So you must prepare yourself for that. The world cannot receive, our Lord just told us, as the deacon sang the gospel, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost. How could the world receive him? Because they've never seen him, and they've never known him. If they are to see and know him, it will be up to you, children. It will be up to you, say rather adults, all of you, grown-up members of the Catholic Church. So in some prominent place, without trying deliberately to be pushy, but if there's something on your forehead, people are going to see it. If there's something in your life and behavior and conversation which is of Christ, people are going to notice it. The world will get a chance at the last, just before it's too late, to see and to know and maybe to accept the Spirit of Truth. I came across an interesting short story the other day that had just been written, very well describing the social changes in Ireland, which was formerly a Catholic country, until about 20 years ago. And in the story, there's a little girl, and her name is Erica, and she is sitting listening to the morning news with her parents in the kitchen, and the announcer on the radio talks about a volcano in Iceland that's erupting, and great clouds of volcanic ash are being spewed forth. Erica asks, she's about 8 or 9, she asks her parents, "What's ash?" And the mother and the father look at each other, and they smile. And the father says to himself, the Irish use this phrase, "Oh, that's brilliant." In other words, how about that? Here, we don't smoke. Everything in this house is electric. She would never have seen ash before. And we don't go to church. And she doesn't get any real religion here at home or at school. So she would never have noticed the little gray smudge of ash on the foreheads, this was his phrase, of the old and of the Polish, because the Polish are immigrants now into Ireland. He was almost pleased with himself that his child was so cut off from any idea of religion. That is the world into which these lambs will grow forth, go forth. And it is in this world, try our best to sequester them, Rita-like, off in a separate room, it is in this world in which they must one day live and function. It is not today so much that they hate our Lord. Say rather, they don't even know him. But how could they, asks our Lord? They've never seen him. That's why they don't know him, the Spirit of Truth. We have a great work ahead of us. It's one thing to stand for the truth and to fight for the king when we know what the terms are, and everyone does, but it's quite another in that brave new world of ours when no one knows, not anymore. What a heavy duty is laid upon these lambs this morning. Never mind, the Holy Ghost will come upon them with his sevenfold gift. He'll make them to be all grown up and to know their catechism well and to be strong in the profession of their Catholic faith, which they will wear like that cross upon the forehead where all may see. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.